Now, you cannot be in faith and fear at the same time. If you're going to be in faith, you've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to shut the door to fear. You can't lie awake at night and be afraid, afraid I'm going broke, afraid somebody's breaking into my house, afraid my house is going to catch on fire. No, that's fear. That won't work. Fear opens the door to the devil the way faith opens the door to God.
You do not have to live in fear. It's not God's will for you to have a life of lack and depression. Join Gloria Copeland on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as she shares a message of hope and faith that will encourage your heart and give you lasting peace.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. I'm Gloria Copeland, and we're talking about God's deliverance and protection, supernatural deliverance and protection from in the 91st Psalm, from every bad thing you can think of, it's included in the 91st Psalm. So let's just read some scriptures in the Amplified Bible again, and 1 through 3. He who dwells in the secret place. So this is not for everybody. This is for the one who's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. That would be Jehovah God. He who dwells in the secret place. It's a secret place. The world can't get in it, but you can get born again, and then you can get in it. You won't be of the world anymore. You'll be of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who dwells in the secret place. That means abide. He abides in the secret place, the King James says. Of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. That means nothing's going to shake you. Nothing's going to destroy you. Nothing's going to disarm you. You're going to be safe. Under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Then in verse 2, he tells you how you cause that power, that deliverance to manifest in your life. I will say of the Lord. And by the way, we're told that Moses wrote this psalm. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. In other words, in Him I have faith, I believe, I trust confidently. No shaking there. I say of the Lord, He's my deliverance, He's my refuge, He's my answer, my God, and I trust in Him. For then, when I say, when I trust, what is trust? That's having faith. When I say and I believe in what I say from the Word of God, it happens. That refuge comes around me. I'm delivered. I'm safe. I'm in the place. Now, I have to say right. I can't just start the first thing and say, God's my refuge and my fortress, then talk fear of sickness, of this tragedy, of that tragedy, of this thing and that thing, earthquakes, famine, whatever it is. I have to say and trust. In other words, you have to have faith for these things, just like you do for everything else in the Word of God. I will say, this psalmist says, I make a decision, I will say. I'm going to say it. I'm going to believe it. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, on Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. This is not for sissy believers who don't say what the Word says. This place, this safety won't happen in your life unless you receive it and you say it. You take Jesus as your deliverer, not just as the one who bore the curse for you, but also for your deliverance from evil things, storms, catastrophes, plagues, calamities, every bad thing that comes upon the earth. When you believe it, when you say it, then, verse 3 says, then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. What's the fowler? Well, that would be the devil. He's the one that's come to foul things up. So however he's fouling up. He might be fouling up your finances. He might be fouling up your body. He might be fouling up your family. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you're letting Him do it. He has no right to do that. You've been delivered out. The Bible says when we get born again, we're delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. I say of the Lord. So we say what we believe. If you say doubt and unbelief, you know why you say that? That's because that's what's in your heart. The Bible teaches us also out of the abundance, out of the overflow of our heart. What's in our heart the most is what comes out our mouth. So we say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my fortress, He's my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. Or in Him I have faith. Then, it says, for then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you. Now, that could be epidemic diseases. That could be any kind of disease. That could be cancer. That could be typhoid. That could be whatever kind of disease is rampant in the land, or any disease. We know from Isaiah that He bore our sicknesses in His own body and carried our diseases, and by His stripes we were healed. So all these scriptures agree and work together. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Somebody said that's the devil's the fowler. He's the one that fouls things up, and that's the truth. And from the deadly pestilence, then He, the Most High, the one we've taken refuge in, will cover you, shelter you. Under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. You see, faith and trust are necessary. These things aren't automatic. Nothing that belongs to us in the Bible is automatic. We have to receive it. When we receive it, we have to say it. That's how you release faith. And then things work for us, and we begin to enjoy it in our lives. In other words, poverty is not a blessing. You have to receive that blessing, and then you have to receive the blessing of abundance, and then you have to talk abundance. If you just receive the blessing of abundance and you don't talk abundance, you haven't finished what it takes. Faith speaks. Faith receives. Faith speaks. Faith is in two places. It's in your heart. The Word of God's in your heart, and the Word of God comes out your mouth. Both of those are necessary for you to have the power of God working in your life. He will cover you. The Father, God, will cover you with His pinions or feathers. Under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. A shield is, I believe this is right, a shield is three-sided, front, side, and back. But a buckler is on every side, front, back, side to side, above, beneath. I like to call it a bubble. It is totally surrounding you. A shield and a buckler. Let me see if I can quickly find that and see what it says in the Tehillim in verse. Shield and buckler, shield and buckler. All right, that would be 4, verse 4. And it might be different in here because these are different numbers sometimes. But let's see what it says. The shield and armor will His truth be. One well-known rabbi, really, I mean, he's been long gone a long time, but he's really one I like to read after. He describes the shield, which protects its wearer incompletely. A shield, in other words, is like three sides, side, side, and front. Armor is related to a circle that totally surrounds its wearer, affording greater protection. So a circle, have you ever blown bubbles out your, you know, with those little circles, and you blow a bubble, and that bubble is what? It's a circle. It's got air in the middle, and there's bubble all the way around. I like to think of our protection as a bubble on every side, above and below. It is related to circle, this word armor, totally surrounds its wearer, affording greater protection. The Torah, which is God's truth, is a shield and a weapon for those who study it, or you could say for those who speak it and use it and believe it. Glory to God. So that armor is related to a circle. In other words, a shield is three sides. A circle is all the way around you on every side. Glory to God. So we are protected by that shield and armor. Let's see. I'm in the wrong book here. Let me look up here in the Amplified. So see yourself in that bubble. I mean, that's the term I use. I just believe God that I'm in a bubble. Glory to God, protected by Him on every side. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Then, and in Him I trust, so it takes faith. Then I say, with my faith, He's my shield and my refuge. Then He delivers me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. That would be disease of every kind. Then He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. Faith is always involved. You find refuge under His wings when you trust. His truth, so you got it, you don't have anything to believe unless you know what He says He'll do. That's why you have to have the scripture. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler around you, an armor. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, or the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. Now, you cannot be in faith and fear at the same time. If you're going to be in faith, you've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to shut the door to fear. You can't lie awake at night and be afraid. Afraid I'm going broke. Afraid somebody's breaking into my house. Afraid my house is going to catch on fire. No, that's fear. That won't work. Fear opens the door to the devil the way faith opens the door to God. You'll not be afraid. No fear. Not of the evil plots or slander of the wicked. Not the arrows that fly by day. Nor of the pestilence, sickness, disease, epidemic disease even, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. That could be threat of warfare, bombs. You may be watching this when you're in action right now in the military. Oh, you need to, every soldier knows the 91st Psalm, I'm sure, but you need to say it, you need to feed on it. If you need material on it, just write us. We'll let you know. We pray for you guys in action. We pray for you. We believe God for your protection and salvation. Here's how bad it can get, and you come out alive. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Boy, that's a powerful scripture. 11,001 people might be in danger that day, and you'd be the one people that came out if you were the one believing for your protection and salvation. It says in the next verse, only a spectator will you be yourself, inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked are the lawless. How does this happen? How does one person out of all those people live? Verse 9, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. What does that mean? That means because you put faith in the Lord for your deliverance, for your salvation, for your well-being. Verse 10 says, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague our calamity come near your tent. Hallelujah. What a scripture. There shall no evil befall you because you made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a lot of bad things out there. A lot of weapons, a lot of mean people. War, famine, all those things. But the Lord says if you'll make Him your refuge, nothing's going to hurt you. You're in the secret place. What is the secret place? That's a hidden place. That's a place where the enemy doesn't have access to you. And how do you get there? You abide there. You say, you believe it, and you say it. I'm delivered. I am in the secret place. I am safe. Fear tries to come upon you. You rebuke fear, and you remember that it's Jesus that's the Lord of my life. And I am safe under His shelter, in His wings, hallelujah, because you've made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or sickness or calamity come near your tent. Here's something else He does for it. Let's look here at Luke 21, 9 and 11. I want to show you this scripture before I miss it. Luke 21, 9 and 11 in the Amplified says, Jesus is talking about the last days. And He said, when you hear of wars, this is 9, when you hear of wars, insurrections, disturbances, disorder, and confusion, do not become alarmed and panic-stricken and terrified. So we can't let fear in when we hear bad news, when we hear of terrible things, wars. Many people are living in a war place. There's peace right here in this United States, but there's a lot of mean people that have come to steal, kill, and destroy. So it's a different kind of war. But yet, we cannot walk in fear. Do not become alarmed and panic-stricken and terrified. Don't be afraid. For all this must take place first, and then the end will come, will not come immediately. Now, this is what Jesus was telling in His day. This was what His message said. Then He told them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be mighty and violent earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, which are plagues, malignant and contagious or infectious epidemic diseases, which are deadly and devastating. There will be sights of terror and great signs of sights of terror and great signs from heaven. But Jesus said, when you hear of these, don't be afraid. Do not become alarmed and panic-stricken. We live in dangerous days. There's a lot going on, a lot of bad people, a lot of crime, a lot of stuff, a lot of sin. But you and I don't have to partake of that. So we can't partake of the sin in the world and expect this kind of deliverance. It just doesn't work. We serve God. We take our place in the refuge. We do what the Master says. And we're kept and we're protected. Jesus said, men will be swooning away or expiring with fear and dread and apprehension of the things that are coming up on the earth. Now listen to this in verse 28. Now when these things begin to appear, when all the things that He's talking about here begin to appear, lift up your heads because your redemption and deliverance is drawing nigh. He said, He told them a parable of the fig tree and all the trees. When they put forth their buds, when come in and they come in to leave, and you see yourselves and perceive and know that summer is near or that it's time for His coming. Even so, when you see these things taking place, understand and know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Truly, I tell you, this generation living at that definite period of time will not pass away until all this has taken place. Now, we don't know exactly when that's going to be, but listen to what He says in verse 14. But here's what you do. Take heed to yourselves and be on guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed and weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence. In other words, if you want to be in a safe place, you want to be what I call in the bubble. I believe my family and I live in the bubble. If you want to be in that place, then you have to not get into self-indulgence. And here's what it says, self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to this life. And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. In other words, we have to keep a spiritual mind. We have to stay in the Word of God. We can't live like other people live if we want to be delivered, if we want to be kept in safety, so that that day of the Lord come upon us. Unexpectedly, in other words, is what it means. We wouldn't be prepared for it. Prepare yourself. This is going to happen. When? I don't know exactly, but I know one way or the other, it's going to happen to all of us. We're either going to go be with Him or He's going to come get us. And we don't know exactly when that's going to be. So what do? We stay prepared. We stay in obedience. We abide. That's what we read about. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We rest. We stay. We remain there. For it will come upon, this time will come upon all who live upon the face of the entire earth. Here's what we're to do in verse 36. This is the Amplified, Luke 21:36. Keep awake then, and watch at all times. Be discreet, attentive, and ready, praying that you may have full strength and ability to escape all these things taken together that will take place and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Will all this take place in our lifetime? I don't know. I know this. If we're going to live out the full number of our days, there'll be a day when we're going to leave this body. And if we've made Jesus the Lord of our lives, we're going to go up to live with Him in the air. And then at appropriate time, we'll come back and get our body, but it'll be a changed body. It'll be a new body. Every one of your loved ones that have gone on to heaven, and they've already gone, they're there, or they've gone, let me just say this, they've gone to heaven or they've gone to hell, depending on what they did in their body and what they lived and what they said and what choices they made. God's will is for you and me and all people to be saved. The Lord would have all men to come into repentance and be saved, the Scripture says. So it's our decision. And when we leave this body, we're going up or down. And you better be ready. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you just say, Lord, I receive you to myself. Well, you say, but I don't deserve it. Well, nobody deserves it. But you do it. And you ask for mercy, and the Lord gives mercy, and you'll be born again. So it will come upon all who live upon the face of the entire earth. These days will come upon all. Keep awake then. This is our challenge. Keep awake then. And watch at all times, be discreet, attentive, ready, praying that you may have the full strength and ability to be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth that will take place, and that you may be worthy, in other words, to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Now, before I leave, I'm going to tell you this. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that day is coming. If you don't live till He returns, one day you're going to leave the body and you're going to go up or you're going to go down, depending on what you've done. So right now, just say, Jesus, I receive you into my heart and into my life. Take my life and do something with it. And the Lord says He'll not cast any out. He'll take you. He's taken you. Just act on it. Get material. We'll send you free material. We want you to grow. Get in a good church and grow. Don't go away, and I'll be right back.
When your life is filled with questions, it's not easy to let go and let God take over in every area. But no matter your age, your background, your past, or your current circumstances, living a godly life with purpose is within your reach. In her trademark inspiring style, Gloria Copeland gives you the 10 keys to finding your destiny. Embark on a study that will change the course of your life with any one of these three resources. God's Master Plan for Your Life, the New York Times bestseller by Gloria Copeland. Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, the video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal, and God's Master Plan for Your Life, an abridged audiobook read by Gloria Copeland. Each of these study tools is designed to help you discover and connect with God's God's master plan for your life. Find real answers to real life questions from a real God. Order your God's Master Plan for Your Life products at a special price, just $12 for the book, $49.95 for the video curriculum with interactive workbook and journal, and $22 for the audiobook on CD. Log on to our website at kcm.org and order online, or call toll-free 800-575-4455. God's plan is exciting and available for you to receive. Find out what He has planned for you today.
If you made Jesus Lord of your life today, we want to know about it. We're so thrilled to hear, for we know that your life will never be the same. We want to give everybody a book, The Unbeatable Spirit of Faith. It's the spirit of faith that gives you victory in every area. It's